Thank you, Jan.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Today is September 26, 2023. It is 9 a.m. We are all here for the regular meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board, Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee. And can we have a roll call, please, Jan?
Ms. Ford?
Here.
Mr. Helling?
Here.
Ms. King?
Here.
Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Mr. Kovac?
Here.
Ms. Sawa?
Here.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Quorum.
We'll jump right into the regular meeting agenda. Item number one is the approval of minutes, letter A, so for the meeting held July 25th, 2023. Do I have any comments or questions regarding the minutes from July? All right, not hearing any. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes for the regular meeting held July 25th, 2023?
Conrad moves approval.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a second?
Helling will second.
Thank you, sir. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections. The approval of the regular minutes for the meeting held July 25th, 2023 passes. Moving on to item two, the Chief Investment Officer report. That be David or Eric?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Sauer has prepared a performance update for the board this morning.
Good morning, everyone. The fund ended the month of August with a value of $5.62 billion. The fund return of negative 1.3% for the month outperformed by approximately 8 basis points. Relative performance drivers. Main driver was manager selection. Our stock portfolio held up relatively better than the benchmark in a down market, which led to public equity adding 31 basis points. And this was kind of across the board. 9 out of 11 of our active equity mandates outperformed. The standout there was really Brandis, which added 17 basis points by itself. Partially offsetting that was the fund style bias, which detracted 21 basis points, and this was primarily from the U.S. small cap as well as U.S. large cap value biases. You can see in the table to the right that the fund has underperformed the benchmark in the year-to-date period while outperforming in the 1, 5, 10, 15, and 20-year periods. As of September 25th, the fund was down 1.9% month-to-date in September, which brings the year-to-date return to 3.9% and the fund value to $5.52 billion. 10 out of the fund's 16 active mandates are outperforming year-to-date, and the fixed income and real assets asset classes are outperforming their respective benchmarks year-to-date. Year-to-date, we've seen an investment change of $228.2 million, have paid out benefits and expenses of $326.0 million, and have received contributions of $151.2 million. For benefit payments this month, we'll be making the following withdrawals: $14.1 million from Brandis, $6.8 million from MFS, $6 million from DFA US Small Cap, $5.3 million from Poland, $4.8 million from DFA US Large Cap, $3.4 million from Earnest, and $3.2 million from the S&P 500 Index. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them. Otherwise, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Eric. Any comments or questions regarding that first part? All right, not hearing any. David, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I was just going to add a comment on that pie chart and the relative return on the bottom. If you remember at the beginning of the year, you know, we were coming off of 2022 when both stocks and bonds were down double digits. We were spending a lot of time talking about liquidity. As the year progressed, it became, you know, a big, much more of an asset allocation story, risk and return. You know, as soon as the board reaffirmed its discount rate in February, and then we started making decisions on as part of the ALM study in May and June. You know, we've started using, you know, the rally in stocks that started at the end of last year and really continued through July of this year to move towards the asset allocation, the strategic policy that the board approved, approved in June. You can see on the right, those variations from target they're pretty close to target now. We're very close to implementing it. Those variations, particularly probably in fixed income and public equity, are probably as small as you've seen all year. Fortunately, we were able to make those moves in a time of rising stock markets. So we were able to sell gains, realize gains from public equity to recycle into fixed income to get that allocation up. And, you know, I'm pleased we were able to do that. We had a market where, you know, we were able to reduce stocks in a rising market. And it's also, while we haven't necessarily seen the positive returns from fixed income yet, I'm happy that we were able to put this allocation, get us closer to our 29% fixed income target with an environment where rates are still high and arguably even higher than they were when Callan presented their assumptions at the beginning of this year. So on a go-forward basis, we've made significant progress on getting the risk-return profile to what the committee approved earlier this year. Now we just need the stock and bond markets to cooperate between now and the end of the year so we can get that year-to-date return up. Those are the only comments I just wanted to add to this performance report. I'm happy to take any questions. Otherwise, that was all I wanted to add.
Thank you, David. Any comments or questions from board or members or staff? All right, not hearing any. Thank you, David and Eric. We will move on to item number 3, the investment committee report. Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At our September 7th meeting, Callan presented the 2024 private equity pacing and reinvestments analysis. The committee later approved the 2024 private equity commitment recommendation, which was to commit $40 million to Avid Capital's AP 2024 vehicle and $30 million to Apogen's APEF 11 vehicle. They need to get a acronym that you can say in word. But back to business. Staff provided routine due diligence reports on Abbott Capital and Neuberger Berman. Staff also went over the fund's second quarter performance report. Loomis Sales presented proposed guideline changes that will likely come before the committee for formal consideration later this year. And Reams gave a presentation on the fixed income strategy they manage for the fund. The committee voted to hold Reams Asset Management Guideline Change request to today's board meeting pending written guidance from Callan. The committee approved an update to the fund's private equity statement of investment policy that became necessary when the fund's strategic asset allocation was changed in June. And finally, the committee went into closed session to discuss the side letter revision related to Mesero Private Equity Fund 9. The committee then went into open session to approve the side letter revision. Since delaying approval of a side letter would have put the fund at risk of missing the deadline to achieve first close fee savings, staff utilized its authority to execute an investment-related contract that was approved by the investment committee as provided under Board Rule 7G2B. So the investment committee recommends approval of the following two items. One, approval of the 2024 private equity commitment recommendation, and two, approval of the private equity statement of investment policy update. Also, once those two items are finalized, as I mentioned earlier, the investment committee did vote to hold approval of the Reams asset management guideline change for consideration at today's board meeting, pending written guidance from Callan, so we'll need to go into closed session afterwards for that. So I would motion for approval on item 1 and 2 that I mentioned.
That will make the motion.
Mr. King will second.
Mr. Chair, are you, your speaker's out.
Sorry about that. So not hearing any objections, I made the motion for the approval of the 2024 private equity commitment recommendation and the approval of private equity statement of investment policy update. And Ms. King, I believe you seconded that?
That's correct.
Great. Any objections regarding? Not hearing objections, that motion passes. And then, Jerry, we possibly talked about not going into closed session for C, or do you still feel we have to?
3C?
Yes.
It just depends, again, whether the trustees want to talk about any of the details about the discussion at the investment committee meeting about Beams Asset Management. If they just want to approve the guideline change without extended discussion, that might be okay not to go into closed session. And the same is true actually for the next item having to do with extension of Wells Fargo contract. Just depends on to what extent there is a desire for discussion about those items.
Okay. David, what are your thoughts? Go ahead.
I think these are just the direction we need from the boards needs to be discussed in closed session.
Great. I will start the process of putting us in closed. So please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following items. Item 3, letter C, as provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub E, Wisconsin State Statutes, to develop a negotiation strategy for the proposed REAM asset management guideline change, and as provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub G, Wisconsin State Statutes, to confer with legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed session?
Less than a motion.
Conrad seconds.
Thank you, Rudy. Do I have any objections?
Roll, we have to do roll call. Ms. Ford?
Roll call, Jan.
Yeah, Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Mr. Helling?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Mr. Bell?
Aye, and the time is 9:13 a.m.
Thank you. The recorder is paused. Now the recorder now.
Awesome. Thanks, Jan. The time is 9:39. Jerry, just let me know when you're ready.
Go ahead.
Thank you, everyone. We are back in open session regarding item 3, letter C, the approval of REAM's asset management guideline change. I would like to put forward a motion regarding item C. It would be a motion to not approve the REAM's asset management guideline change and instead address it based on the discussion that we had in closed session. Do I have a motion regarding?
Possible motion.
Thank you, Tom. Do I have a second?
Conrad seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Any objections regarding the motion? Not hearing any, the motion passes. Moving on the agenda, item 4, the Administration and Operations Committee report will be handled by Ms. Sawa. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. The A&O committee met last Wednesday on September 20th at 9 a.m. we had two approvals of contracts that the committee does recommend for approval, the extension of the Wells Fargo contract, and then also the approval of the Clifton Larson Allen contract for internal audit services. I think, Jerry, like you were mentioning, we can go into closed session to deliberate further. Otherwise, the committee does recommend approval for both of these.
Yes, there's an opinion in your, or a memo rather, from Assistant City Attorney Alex Fondos in your package. I believe Alex is on the line, right? If anybody has any questions or would like to discuss that opinion, you could go into closed session. Otherwise, you could simply act on the recommendation of the invest or the A&O committee.
Is there anyone on the board that would like to go into closed session to discuss this further? Going once, going twice. Okay. Then I believe we just need a motion for each one to approve the contracts. Can I have a motion to approve the Wells Fargo contract?
Sir Helly to make that motion.
Thank you.
Conrad seconds.
Thank you. And then moving on to the approval of the Clifton Larson contract for internal audit services.
I'll make that motion. And Molly will second.
Okay, and then just a couple other reports from the meeting. We did have a renewal of our fiduciary and cyber insurance, and we just had a minimal increase there. And then also we had a discussion on the State Legislative Audit Bureau engagement. So it looks like we will be ERS will be working with the State Legislative Audit Bureau for the financial audits going forward. And also there's the pension, there's the actuarial audit every 5 years as well, right, Jerry?
That's correct, yes. In fact, I do have something in my report on the audit as well.
Oh, okay, so you're going to get into that a little more?
A little bit.
Okay. And then we just went through the IT projects portfolio and the organizational personnel update, which we're working to fill a vacancy.
Yeah.
And I think that concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Chair and Aisha, there was one thing I wanted to add to that report. We did not put on the agenda this time an item for approval of the fiduciary liability insurance because the cyber quote just came in yesterday. We didn't have that, so we're going to bring that back next month. The expiration is at the end of October, so we still have time to bring that back. And but as Aisha said, it was quite favorable.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sowa.
Yep. That concludes my report.
Thank you. We are moving on to item 5, new business, letter A, retirement, death claims, and refunds, and this will be both for July and August 2023. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bell. Yes, we do have retirements, death claims, and refunds, the routine approval of the payroll on the agenda for July and August, 2 months due to the August resolution and the recess in August. So I guess a motion would be in order to approve the payroll for those 2 months. If there's any questions.
Great. I have a, go ahead.
I just any questions, anybody has questions that we'll be happy to address them either now or offline.
Thank you, Jerry. Any?
I got one for Jerry. Tom, plus one.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, on the board report, it's probably an anomaly on the printout, but I just hope that two checks don't go out. One person is on there twice. Last name Trotter, T-R-O-T-T-E-R.
Yeah, two checks will not go out. I don't see that in front. Yes, I do, and now I see it. It jumps out. Sarah Trotter, that's a person I know, as a matter of fact.
just in case.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah. I don't think that's because there's two pension checks, but that's a good observation. I'll inquire about that. Thanks for bringing that up, Tom.
And Terry, this is Matt. Just kind of noticed too that is that common for the public schools to have so many retirements then hit summer?
They have a lot of turnover at MPS. There's no question about that. People tend to come in midlife. They don't start when they're 20. And so there are a lot of folks that that go in the summer because it's a 10-month contract for the teachers and the staff is kind of in the same situation.
Got it. It looks like those dates are all that June 17th. So I just kind of noticed that. Was wondering if there was something going on regarding it. All right. Any other comments or questions? All right. Not hearing any, I'll put forward a motion to approve payroll for both July and August.
Klessman will move.
Thank you, Tom. Do I have a second?
Skate will second.
4 seconds.
Thank you, Ms. King. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion to approve payroll for August or for July and August 2023 passes. Moving on to item 5, letter B, conference request for September 2023.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we have a number of them on the list in the package today. I can go through them quickly. We have for the fall retreat with Intelligence, the name of the association or the name of the firm in Chicago. David would like to attend that September 18th, 19th for about $650 and involves hotel and transportation, no doubt. Also, we have David and Tom Courtright doing due diligence for the principal company in New York and Des Moines. That's where they're located. And this is September 2021 and October 11th and 12th, $2,200 per person. Eric is requesting to attend the JP Morgan Real Estate annual meeting conference in October 25th and 6th, $1,250 to fly to New York. That's actually a pretty good deal for lodging in New York as well. Eric is also asking to go to the Goldman Sachs Alternative Summit October 31st and November 2nd, $1,750. Tom, boy, our investment guys are busy with due diligence and conferences. Tom Courtright, MFS Global Investment Institute in Boston, November 6th to 10th, $2,250. David again, 2024 Visions, Insights, and Perspectives VIP Americas, a possible Brandis visit out in California, Southern California. It's an institution of real estate conference, basically, and it's January of next year, 22nd, 25th, $2,250. So a motion would be in order to approve these conference requests.
Great, thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions regarding? Not hearing any. Motion to approve the conference request for the September 2023.
Mr. Helen, I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Tim. Do I have a second?
4 seconds.
Thank you, Ms. Ford. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. The motion to approve the conference request for September 2023 passes. Moving on to item 6, medical reports. Letter A, all duty and ordinary disability applications and reexamination. And this is for both August and September.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this morning I thought we would depart from our normal approach here. I've asked Gus Petropoulos, who's deputy director and in charge of disabilities, to give the report for both months. And Gus regularly attends all of the medical council meetings, for example, and is very close to the issues there. Gus, do you have the reports in front of you? You can explain to the board what has occurred this month.
Sure, I'll go back to August. There were
They're all routine, just re-exams, which were approved as part of the understanding with the executive director to continue payroll. September, of note, all the medical panel were all approvals for re-exams, and on the medical council, there were two new applications, Mr. Brown, who was approved for ordinary disability, Mr. Jones was approved for duty disability. There were no denials in August or September, so this is just before you for approval, recommended by the medical council.
Thank you, Gus.
Great. Thank you, Gus. Any comments or questions regarding... Not hearing any, I'll put forth a motion to approve the medical reports for both August and September 2023.
Conrad moves approval.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Do I have a second?
I have a second.
Thank you, Tim. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion to approve medical reports for August and September 2023 passes. Moving on to item 7, unfinished business. Letter A, pending legal opinions and service request reports. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have Patrick with us. There's really nothing to report on that, but I know Patrick's working on another opinion. He might want to say something about that, having to do with the survivorship factors that are that the actuary has recommended. Patrick, you want to give us a little update on that issue?
Yeah, thank you, Jerry. As this board knows, that issue is getting rather long in the tooth and has been routinely delayed because our office is busy implementing Act 12. I'm happy to say that I believe I'm finally in a position to finalize that opinion in whole, barring any sort of other massive legislation coming down the pipe, that we are probably going to see that opinion before the board next month. Outside of that, I'd be happy to answer anyone's questions.
Thank you. Any comments or questions regarding? All right, not hearing any, we'll move on to item 7, letter B, pending legislation report. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So item 1, part 1, has to do with the charter ordinance relating to the employee's retirement system. This had to do with amendment of the city charter in order to implement Act 12, and those amendments were recommended by the Finance and Personnel Committee and have been adopted by the Common Council. One sort of last minute update to this, it's not on the report, I was going to mention it in my report, but I can mention it here. On Monday the 2nd, there's going to be another proposed amendment that comes before the Finance and Personnel Committee that involves the ERS. It's a charter amendment for Chapter 36 to authorize the ERS to serve as the designated WRS agent and alternate and retirement contact for implementing the conversion to the WRS for new hires. My hats off and a kudos to both Daniel and Melody, who have volunteered, Daniel to be the WRS agent and Melody to be the alternate. Also, the benefit contact for any questions or issues that might arise from the WRS. And so this amendment would authorize that, just as the city has authorized us to be the administrator for life insurance and also for retiree medical, this would require a charter amendment. These will be non-trust activities, so we will bill the city for the cost of the services based on the cost of the staff, people involved. Additionally, the ERS is going to provide determinations of eligibility for city employees to enroll in the WRS and then be involved in the wage and service reporting off the city's payroll system as appropriate, in conjunction with our friends in ITMD, the, you know, the IT department for the city, and also for the payroll department. But this requires a charter amendment, and so that's going before the F&amp;P on Monday. And of course, I will be there, and Patrick will be there as well, in case there's any questions or issues that comes from the F&amp;P. The reason for this is that the city has to actually enroll in the WRS by the 15th of November in order to secure the sales tax revenues pursuant to Act 12, in order to comply with Act 12. And then, of course, the wage and service reporting and all the new hires beginning in January will go into the WRS. And so this is really laying the groundwork to, you know, do that conversion to the WRS, and that's what really all this activity is about. So if anybody has any questions or comments about that, we'd be happy to entertain that. But again, thanks to both Melody and Daniel for being willing to play a pivotal role in this process to act on behalf of the city of Milwaukee as the employer of all of its employees. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry, and thanks as well for the both of you for stepping up. You know, there's going to be a lot of questions and issues that pop up regarding the implementation of this, so thank you. Any comments or questions from other board members? All right, not hearing any. Next is item 7, letter C, and Jerry, I believe we probably don't need to go into closed session for this?
I don't believe so. No, it's just a kind of a template, a holding, in case there would be any discussion about anything that has to do with vulnerabilities or litigation, but we don't really have that this time. So thank you. The first item is a personnel update. We had a promotion, so we've got what I call a daisy chain, that, and there's a position open in the benefit services for benefit services coordinator. That vacancy has been approved at the F&amp;P, and the recruiting will proceed with DER, and so Melody is working with DER to accomplish that. On member services, we had a number of new retirees on the payroll in August. And September, we're expecting about 33. The activity is coming along as we expect normally in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, there were also a number of deaths in July and June. We continue to hold the general city workshops, and also workshops for the new recruit class at police. And they were reported in the report, the numbers involved there. Skipping down to financial services, a lot of activity there. Of course, Baker Tilly finished their audit, and they've issued their GASB 68 report on the employer. For the employer financials. This is rolls up into the city of Milwaukee financials. They did that in August, and it's now been posted on our website. We did also notify Baker Tilly that the Wisconsin Legislative Audit Bureau, the LAB, will be auditing our 2023 financial statements. Baker Tilly is requested, we had to authorize them to release the work papers. The state auditors asked for that, and so that's come about, and Baker Tilly and the state legislative audit bureau have had conversations about the the handoff from our from Baker Tilly to doing our audits to the state LAB. It seems to be going smoothly at this point. The budget hearing is scheduled for October 4th. Our budget hearing, I will appear, and Larry Langer will be there. We're scheduled for 1:30 in the afternoon. Generally, we end up doing the last session of the day. There seems to be a number of questions and issues that always come up. The amounts of contributions and the liability, of course, are substantial, and we always get a lot of inquiries from that panel. On unclaimed property letters, we had 293 letters that were mailed out at the end of August, and as of September 7th, we have received responses from only about 59 of these folks, so we'll continue to pursue that. With respect to the outside earnings test, these are non-responders that were suspended. We've received responses from 6 of these folks now, and the remaining 6 will continue to be suspended until and unless they comply with the outside earnings test. We had Clifton Allen Larson, and as Aisha mentioned in the A&O report, and we're working them also with them to finish, complete the operational audit for financial reporting internal audit process. So then my only other comment had to do a little bit with the transition to the state auditor. We had a meeting briefly in our offices with Joe Christman, who is the head of the State Legislative Audit Bureau. At his request, he wanted to introduce himself and his staff, and so we met with them for about an hour and a half here in the boardroom. And I've included a copy of the statutory provision for that audit, if anybody has any interest in highlighting it. And so as a result of this legislation, as I mentioned just previously before, we'll no longer be having audits by, you know, outside CPA firms. It's not really appropriate that they have duplication of audits or spend trust money to duplicate the audits. So from this point on, the State Legislative Audit Bureau will be doing the audits for the ERS, the financial audit, and also for the, as was mentioned earlier, there will be an actuarial audit every 5 years. The scope of the audit seems to be a little bit broader under the statute than what we're accustomed to. In the past, these have been limited scope financial audits, but the state is also going to look into our financial controls, which is something that Baker Tilly really never, and because of the nature of the audit, was limited, but the state audit is much broader, and they will be looking at financial controls and member records. We had a discussion about that as well with them. So it all seems to be going smoothly. We gave them a draft schedule, a lengthy draft schedule of how we normally conduct, or how these audits are normally conducted, and they're going to evaluate it and come back to us with any thoughts about it. They did commit, however, to completing the audit process by the 15th of August, so that the financials can be issued to the city as required by the city charter. So we'll be monitoring that. Hopefully that will continue to occur as it has in the past. Other than that, we expect to retain Clifton Allen Larson for the operational audits. They're really acting in a consulting relationship. We rely on them heavily to verify the integrity of our management of our system here. They do about 12 audits in the cycle. As Aisha mentioned, we reviewed two of them, including the investment audit, in the last A&O meeting. And these are not financial audits that are being mandated under Act 12 to be done by the State Legislative Audit Bureau. And in fact, normally the people that do operational audits are not allowed to do the financial audits in the accounting profession. It's my understanding. So we just signed a renewal of the Clifton Larson Allen contract, and we're looking forward to continuing that strategic partnership because it's very valuable to us to help us continue to, you know, make sure that ERS operates the way it should and issues its checks timely and accurately every month to the members and beneficiaries. So with that, that's my report. And I'll be happy to entertain any questions or comments about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions regarding? All right, moving on to item 7 is informational. Item A through K can be placed on file.
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, there was one other thing I forgot to mention. It's minor, but I wanted to mention it.
Go ahead,
I will be appearing tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Retired Fire and Police Association at the request of our former chair, Mr. Barman, who is the president of that association. A number of the retirees have questions about the nature of Act 12 and all of the the city's efforts to comply with that act and to implement it. So I just thought I'd better let the board know that. I think probably the meeting will go well, but it is a sort of an outreach. I told them I would be happy to do, because I know there are a number of people that in the retiree population that have asked about this, and I've also been asked to do this later in the fall for the general city group, which is a larger group for the Milwaukee Retiree Association. They normally meet in October for their fall meeting. Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Bill.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yep.
No, thank you. Thanks for adding that. Finally, like discussed, item 7, informational, A through K, can be placed on file unless anyone wants to discuss. And if not hearing any, our next date is set for Tuesday, October 24th at 9 a.m. And if there's no other comments or questions, I'll entertain a motion to close the meeting.
So moved.
Thank you. Is that Ms. King?
That is.
And second.
Hundred seconds.
Thank you, Rudy. Any objections regarding?
No objection, Ms. Chair, but I do have a big comment I'd like to make at the meeting. I just wanted to say welcome back, Jerry, and glad to hear everything went well. And we missed you while you were gone, but we really didn't because you didn't take any time off. But we're happy you're feeling much better.
Thank you, Molly.
Thank you, Molly. And with that, we will close end the meeting at 10:07 a.m. Everyone have a good day.